Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And we have one of our most long-awaited interviews today for this second helping. We are so excited to have with us on the pod, Bronx native, alumni of Northeastern University. Sorry, I almost said Northwestern there. Northeastern University and the Culinary Institute of America. A veteran of Gramercy Tavern, Restaurant Danielle, Momofuku Co. Ever heard of him? Apprentice of Francis Malmong in his private island in Patagonia. That must have been nice. Inducted into the prestigious Les Dames d'Escoffier International and received a Culinarian Award from the Black Women in Food Association presented by Dine Diaspora. You can taste any of her food through many of her delicious pop-ups around New York City and beyond. Our first draft pick on our fantasy team based on vibes and Instagram DMs.
Always on
and that. The cutest chef of season 22. Welcome to the pod, Lana Lagomarsini. We are so excited to have you.
Me too. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my God.
Thank
Can
you.
Can I just say, this has been such a long time coming. Shout out to Lana for just truly, I stand by our vibes draft pick.
100%. I wouldn't change a thing.
Would not change a thing. Oh
well,
my God.
I have to say, listening to the podcast definitely feels like two of my gal pals just like dabbing. So it's awesome. Like, I love listening to you guys. So
it's like talking shit, but like to your face, but it's nice stuff.
Yeah.
Compliments to the chef.
Just adorableness, cuteness, as we know that I love. So
I love that. Well, while we're on the subject, we love to kick off with a little silly question. So for you in particular.
Yes.
The queen of cute this season. Do you feel like we could heal the world if people only use the word cute a bit more often?
I feel like potentially if we really go in line with the word, you know, it's not just about keeping it cute. You have to actually keep it cute.
Yes.
You know, like it, just think like when you're doing something, is it cute? Like, you know, like if you're acting crazy, like if someone's like telling you a story and you're acting crazy, not the cutest response, perhaps. Mm-mm. Like maybe you don't do that. You know, when you're talking to a friend, when you're, you know, anything, just everything. I feel like it just can be applied to so many things.
Keep it cute. That's a way to live.
It is.
It's a lifestyle. Cute is a lifestyle.
That's the point. Yes. It's more than a word. It's absolutely a lifestyle.
It's more than a word, and it feels like it really made the rounds this season, especially.
Yes, my bad to all of my castmates for infecting them with the cute, for sure.
Oh, it's the modern day that's hot.
But more.
But more. Shout out to Paris Hilton.
Yes.
The queen of cute.
Yeah.
Okay, but so let's talk about this cohort. A critique that we have lobbed in the past when, you know, because we go back, we do rewatches of seasons from like 20, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Something that we always see in those older seasons is like nobody seems to know what it means to cook their food or their style or their point of view. This has decidedly not been a problem for you or the chefs that you cooked with this season. Why do you think that is? Like, why this group? Why you? Like, why is it that you guys particularly shine here?
So I do think that this cohort was just like smart and emotionally intelligent, good, like good natured people who had been working on their skill set for years. And, you know, a lot of people did have their own point of view. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a really beautiful thing to watch, to be a part of. I don't know why in particular my season over others. You know, I think, you know, as the show has progressed, you know, you can't discount the impact that a show like Top Chef has had on the community in general. So maybe, you know, the difference between, you know, the season 15, 20 years ago versus the season now is the fact that Top Chef even exists. And that kind of pushes chefs to, you know, find a voice for themselves. They realize the importance of finding a voice for themselves because of platforms like this, because of, you know, platforms like JBF and all the other platforms that kind of, you know, encourage chefs to find their own voice. Maybe that's why they're, you know, the seasons progressively, like people really have a point of view, I feel like, as the seasons have progressed and as the seasons have gotten older. So for sure, this was not a problem this season as well. And I think it just made it like that much more exciting to be a part of the cohort because everyone had such an a different point of view, something to say, that there was something to learn from everyone. Like, and it just made it so much more fun. And truly for me, kind of created a almost like an incubator type environment where, yes, we're all competing and everyone's, everyone wants to win, but at the same time, everyone has such a different voice that, it also just was like such a great space to learn from other people and to talk with other people. And because everyone was so kind and emotionally intelligent on top of it, it just created like such a beautiful environment to be a part of. So I just really cannot express enough like how happy I was on this season with
What we
these
would give
people.
to be in those stew room little gatherings with all of you.
Yeah, the giggles were giggling, let me tell you.
I love it. So you just mentioned this, and I'm really curious. You talk about Top Chef being like a platform, and now Top Chef has been around for 20 some odd years. What was your relationship to the show before you went on? Were you a fan? Did you watch it? Did it influence you in your career and choice to become a chef?
Absolutely. I would say that, I started, being a chef was not something that I was like right after culinary, like right after high school, I'm going in. Like it was a little bit more of a slow burn for me. But that also I think created like a much deeper connection. But it did initially start with just, being obsessed with chefs, like watching Top Chef, like I think I've seen all the seasons, like I didn't have to go back and watch a bunch. Like there were some particular seasons that like I remember, so I think it definitely played a role in the development of myself and of my career and of seeing like what chefs can do. It just kind of created this like, it's something I couldn't ignore after a few years. I was like, you know what? I just have to try it. I have to go for it. My particular experience as well with Kristen, kind of just made everything
That
go
was
full circle.
surreal. That
Yeah.
was crazy.
Yeah, that was cool.
I feel like one thing the season did really well too is where there was so many like little just gems that we got even late into the game here. Like we learned that, what episode is it? 10, 11, like deep. And I just love that. What a special like full circle moment that had to
Yeah.
be so wild for you.
Absolutely. I mean, to get a chance to, I don't think it came up just because it just didn't came up, it hadn't come up really, but to be in that moment and to be able to, to be able to tell someone who had an impact on your career, especially in the beginning of it, how important that moment was, that is very, very special, and very, usually you don't get these types of moments in life. So not only to have it and then to share it, with the world, I mean, how lucky am I that I get to like share that part of my story, that I get to look, someone who was very, I said, if things had gone just a little bit different, if she wasn't as nice to me, if she didn't see in me what I didn't even see in myself yet, and like hadn't pushed me, just give me a little nudge. Like it wasn't even anything like, crazy, but she was just like, no, you need to keep it. But that's all I needed to hear, like to really know that I was going down, that I needed to at least, do myself the service of going for it and trying it. And at the worst, it wasn't going to work out. I could always fall back on journalism, but at the best, I could be on Top Chef. So.
There we go. And here you are at the best. Well,
Yes,
and
incredibly
between,
cute.
gotta be cute, keep it
Gotta be
cute.
cute.
Between that Lana and the Lana we're talking to today, I think you've been extremely outspoken in both words and the stuff that you've, the food that you've put on the plate this season, that your style is about bringing forward African American culinary traditions with this sort of lens of fine dining. What is it at the heart of these traditions that you're trying to convey the most?
It's, I think I'm, so I have the background in journalism that is just giving me, like, I already have a very inquisitive mind. I love history. I love learning about history. I think it's very important to societally to know history, just to like pinpoint when things are kind of starting to get a little cyclical, if you will. But, I think that it's, I'm taking a deep personal dive into not only Black history in general, but my own family's history. And I want to tell that story in a way that's meaningful to me. I cut my teeth in a lot of fine dining restaurants. So that feels like the natural path. Like I have this technique, I spent years like honing this technique and never saw the flavors that I grew up with in this technique. But there's no reason why I can't apply this technique to the flavors I grew up with. And there's no reason why we can't merge the two in that way. So that's kind of like where that's kind of like what excites me. Like I love to work on, when I was working at Danielle, I did terrines a lot. I did a lot of the terrines in house. And now I've been doing a lot of those, on the side and my pop-ups and stuff with flavors that remind me of, my upbringing in the Bronx and eating at home with my family and all of that. There's not one correct way to do fine dining, I think. And I just want to see more delicious black flavors
I
and,
love that.
American food really is like the more research I do, like American food is essentially just black food with a twist. So, and the more I want to, the more I find that out, the more I want to tell that story in a way that's, digestible. So, for lack of a better
Literally,
term.
yeah. It's so true. And we've learned so much this season, not just from you, but from a lot of your fellow chef testants around the history of food and how it makes us sort of who we are. So we
Absolutely.
just love hearing all of these stories, and we're so appreciative of what you're bringing to our screens. From sort of switching gears, but still talking about the show and your experience on it, a lot of your more recent experience is in pop-up dining and in supper clubs. So why are you drawn to that format? What is it that's exciting to you about it? And how did it play into your performance on the show?
So, okay, that's a good question. So I was a complete restaurant person, for I just thought that that was going to be it. I was like, I'm just going to work my way up the ladder and, bide my time and I got this and all of that. And it was really the pandemic that changed things for me. Living in New York City, all restaurants closed in one day. And so everyone was laid off pretty much simultaneously in my industry. And it was a pretty scary time for
Oh my God.
sure. Part of the reason why I'd gotten into cooking too is that I would quote always have a job. And so that definitely I played myself, I felt like in that moment. I was like, oh well. But you know what? I'm actually really grateful for that because had it not been for me getting laid off, I probably wouldn't have ever decided to go out on my own and do my own business and start my own thing. And that kind of was the inception as well for like a lot of me finding my own voice because all of a sudden I was no longer working under anyone and I was doing the private work and that was all well and good, but I still felt like I was missing something. And that's kind of where the pop-ups started to come into play. And I wanted to develop myself as a chef. And private work is wonderful, but it's definitely more catered to the client that you're working for rather than what you might have to say as a chef. So in order to kind of fill that artistic need, the pop-ups started to happen. And that's kind of just been like the road I've been going on ever since. I have a very sporadic life. I'm here, I'm there, I'm doing a lot of different things. I'm a freelance chef. And so the pop-ups are just like the perfect little fit into my life because I can schedule one or two. People can come to me. I can, do a menu that I'm thinking about, work out some ideas in my own head. And yeah, just continue to kind of like rove around the world without having to be any in one place permanently, which right now is like the lifestyle that I'm living. But yeah, but I still wanted to hone that voice as a chef. And what do I have to say? That was a deep dive during the pandemic as well. And when I started to realize what I wanted to say and like how I could say it, that's, the floodgates started to open. I mean, there's no, I mean, there's I can never read enough books on the subject. I can never watch enough documentaries. I stay in the Schoenberg Center here in Harlem, which has, they have like old menus from like the Renaissance era, like of restaurants in Harlem, like still there on file that you can go and you can check out and you can, I use those as points of inspiration. Like, where did this dish come from? Okay, I have the skill set to do the research. So you know, the further I dive deep, the more I just get inspired by things. And then I use that as basis, as the basis for inspiration for my dishes. So yeah, I feel like every pop-up is like something different and unique. And so it's kind of like, I just wanted to merge, you know, the business side of it, but also the artistic side of being freelance. So that's how the pop-ups came. I just like this yearning inside me that I need to have something to say. I'm very artistic. I'm very like, you know.
That's incredible though. Like the thought of just literally going through the archives, looking through menus. That's so fascinating. I mean, obviously you can't do that on Top Chef clearly, but were there dishes that you made on the show that maybe struck a particularly meaningful chord in a similar way? Anything that jumps out to you when you look back at your run?
Absolutely. I mean, the peanut soup that I did, episode 3, that one was very close to my heart. That dish was actually inspired by George Washington Carver, who has like 100 and some odd recipes like that you can like use to like cook a peanut. He was like the peanut man, you know. And was a black man, was a farmer, and he inspired me very deeply. So that peanut soup was kind of based off of something I read in one of his books. And so that, you know, that one was like a close one. And it has the pickled shrimp. It has an oil made out of suya, which is a West African spice blend that the base is peanuts as well. So it was but it's spicy, and it's just kind of like, it's like my little ode to like tying in the Southern roots that my family has, but also like the African roots, like of Black people in America, in one dish. So that one I'm proud of. A potluck or consomme. That's you know, definitely a cute one. That one probably my cutest one. Like cute that one. Yes, that like I was so, and it was actually through watching an episode of Top Chef that I was inspired to make this dish. So, you know, so firstly, you know, I'm inspired, like I had read often, you know, in a lot of history books that my ancestors and, you know, a lot of ancestors who were slaves in this country, we, you know, they only had something, sometimes like pot liquor and cornbread to eat, which not a lot, but definitely wanted to do something inspired by, like a dish that like that pays homage to that. And I was watching, I think, World All-Stars, the season where Sarah Bradley made a dish with pot liquor, and she served it to all these judges from Europe, and they were like, why is it brown? And the American judges were like, oh, no, it's supposed to be brown, you know, because that's kind of like something that we know, like, especially people from the South, like, it's supposed to look like a certain way. It's supposed to taste a certain way. But in that moment, I was like, but what if it isn't brown? You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I wonder if you could clarify that, you know, like, and I wonder if that would make sense. And if you could clarify it, would it still taste the same? So, you know. That was one that I R&D'd a little bit just to see if it could work. But truly, I was bringing it all the way back, inspired by Top Chef still. So,
wow. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like just to hear the intricacies of just the layers that go into the decision, because, you know, we're seeing it and it looks so much like, oh, this is just a knee-jerk reaction to what I'm seeing in front of me. There's – clearly it's not. You know, like obviously, yes, you're dealing with like – the external stimuli, but there is a lot rooted underneath that is really just sort of like innately governing the decisions that you're making in that moment.
Totally.
We have to, though, this one is like very silly, but we fangirled out quite a bit on the Mussels Italian sandwich. I don't know where that one came from, but we were like, okay, that's an incredible idea.
Yeah, from the crazy mind of yours truly.
Oh, my God.
Like, sometimes you don't have a lot of time to think, and you just kind of have to go with what feels right, you know? Like, it's, you know, I wish I could tell you something like, oh, you know, like, that one is just, like, a long-standing family tradition. No, it's, like that.
Now that one actually just, like, kind of came out of nowhere, yeah.
That one was, like a little bit off the cuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I had seen a mussel toast once or twice before in my life. So I was like, that would be cute if I did that. No one's going to do a mussel toast. But then I was like, what am I going to do? And I was like, I don't know, something from New York. Cause I don't know. I wanted to show, you know, I want to show a breadth of like my abilities, you know, the flavors of the place I come from. Like New York has its own flavor all in its own. So I wanted to bring some of that to this. I love a weird surf and turf moment also. Like, you know, like something that you're like, oh yeah, that is a surf and turf, huh? Like something that doesn't necessarily, basically anything that's not steak and lobster. I'm into that. So I was like, oh, this would be fun, like a little surf and turf moment. And yeah, I'm like, my guy Tom, I feel like really got me on
He
that one.
got it. He really did. And he was very tickled by it, which we loved.
If there's one thing that is going to tickle a New Yorker, it's an Italian sub.
We love a tickled Tom.
Yes, not the tickle top.
So we know one of our favorite segments on Top Chef is always the scenes where we see you guys like driving to X destination, Whole Foods, wherever. We actually got a fan write-in question on this one, and we were like, okay, we'll plug it. This one comes from Danielle, but at the same time, I'm shocked we haven't thought to ask this.
Yeah, this one also
already.
Comes from deep inside us.
Deep inside our souls. So y'all are in a car, you're gabbing, you're yapping. Who is driving the car? Like, who gets to drive the BMW? What do they call BMWs? The ultimate driving machine. Who's driving the ultimate driving machine?
I mean, I think that it shows that if we switch off,
You
you
switch
know.
off. Who gets like who
How do
you
you
just
choose who
yeah is there
drives?
like a whole is it like oh
It's
I got it
more like, oh, I got
damn
it.
okay why did we think that
Sorry.
this was some great conspiracy?
I thought it
Yeah,
was going
I'm
to be like
sorry.
you had to get certified by BMW to drive the car just in case it crashes.
We need to touch grass, I think,
Yeah,
is what
we've
we're
got a
taking away
bit
from
deep
this.
now, Fitz.
Yeah, I mean, like, as long as Haley is, I mean, fine with it. It's really not that deep. It's just more like who wants to drive today kind of thing. I'm
See,
sorry.
this is the hard-hitting journalism that we serve.
Danielle, I hope you're satisfied with that answer.
Yeah, and Haley, I hope that that's cool that I say that. It's really not that deep. Like, you have to have a driver's license for sure. And that.
Okay, that's important, which
You're all
honestly,
licensed
some New
drivers.
Yorkers don't.
Yeah.
Some New Yorkers don't.
But I'm the
But
New Yorker that does for real. So, and I actually like driving.
I
So,
love driving.
yeah. I mean, I don't like, not for like extended periods of time, but like, oh, like, you know, whoever can will. And I don't mind driving, you know, chauffeuring my friends around town.
And in the
Not a
city,
problem.
like that's actually kind of advanced because I like driving, but driving the city is I think my greatest anxiety. It really
Listen,
stresses me
I
out.
have. You think driving in New York City is bad? I've driven in Sicily.
Oh my
Wow.
God.
Wow.
You gotta get special car
Mamma
insurance for
mia.
that.
Mamma mia. Let me tell you that it was crazy. So,
Well, okay,
God.
swinging
Praying and
from
driving.
questions that are really not that deep to perhaps one that might be, as we close out this section on the show and your time on Top Chef, we want to know how the show really shaped your point of view on your cooking style, and has it changed your idea of what you want to accomplish going forward?
Great question as well. I mean, you know, I'm pretty hard-headed, so I think that my cooking style is if anything, it just encouraged me to keep going down the path that I'm going. Again, like to be, I was so impressed with my fellow castmates, their level of skill, their level of kindness, and the fact that I somehow managed to grab respect out of these incredible human beings, like, is really kind of like all of the confidence booster I needed to like kind of just keep it going. To, you know, that it really was just like a good confirmation that I'm on the right path. You know, I don't know. I'm very much like a fly by the seat of your pants kind of gal. Like, you know, like I like to plan a little bit, but also like I love, you know, the joy of things just happening in life without you having any expectation. So I continue, you know, I'm going to continue to go down the path I'm going down. I'm going to continue cooking, doing pop-ups, and we'll see where that takes me. You know, it's been fun so far, and I have more confidence in myself and my cooking now more than ever. So I definitely I feel like it was just like a really good like reaffirming moment, you know, to be at this pinnacle of cooking and to be amongst, you know, this caliber of chefs and to, you know, not only have their respect as a chef, but then as a person, you know, it was just incredibly refreshing. Like it was a good reminder that like this industry doesn't have to be that toxic, you know? All of these chefs were incredible people, kind-hearted, sweet. You don't have to be yelly and angry and all of that all the time in order to get your point across, you know? Like, you can keep it cute, like, always.
Keep it cute, man.
Like, that is, I feel like that is, like, what keep it cute is. Like, it doesn't have to, like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't have to come from a negative place. It can come from, like, a good place, you know? I feel like we all get into cooking because we want to show love and we want to express ourselves in this way. And this is, like, the best way for some of us. And so I felt like that was just so reaffirmed, like, every time, you know, every moment I spent with this incredible cast. So yeah, I just really, really, I'm the tickled one, really, that I was involved. Like, I really can't say it enough. It just, it's just such an honor to have competed. Blows my mind, you know, that, you know, I made it to the semifinals and I just feel very cute. I feel adorable.
Feels cute about it.
Yeah.
And
I have to keep true to myself, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
All of that, that's the cuteness right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I can walk away with my head held high that I did what I came to do. You know, if I got outcooked, I mean, look who I got outcooked by. Like, I'll live, you know? Like,
and truly the world's most graceful exit of any competition show ever.
Yep.
Thank you.
Nancy and I were like texting on the side. Well, we don't like to talk about the show until we talk about the show, but that was the first thing we talked about when we hopped on to record that night. We were just like, oh my God. She's beauty and she's grace.
Grace.
She's cute.
That's it. You know, but I do appreciate that. You know, it's always hard to, you know, exit a show, especially at that moment. So I'm glad I was able to kind of keep it together. You know, because rewatching it, I was like, oh, okay, it was kind of cute. you never know, you know, but no, I'm glad I kept it together. My other life motto is past me loves future me. So I'm glad that I remembered that one as well. And
I love that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I always try to take care of myself in the future. Like,
wow, we're coming at you with like who drives the car, and you're giving us incredible things.
Yeah,
it sounds like you drive the car.
Amen.
Amen. Definitely. Future self driving that car. Well, so speaking of future, Lana, what's next for you, Lana? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want the people to know?
Absolutely. So me and my friends, we do a Juneteenth pop-up every year, like a Juneteenth, like, cookout kind of vibes, every year. Doing it again this year on the 18th.
Keep them guessing.
Yeah, right? Which day? But no, we're going to, you know, we want to rest on the 19th. So we're going to do it this year on the 18th. We're having a big barbecue at Farm to People in Brooklyn, which is right in Bushwick. But, you know, basically it's like a come one, come all kind of event. Get a plate of food. There's going to be incredible music. There's going to be just drinks and vibes. So that's the next big thing that I'm doing. And it's going to be a celebration of Black food and Black culture. You know, all are welcome. As long as you're cute, right? As long as you keep that. And that is not a reflection on your appearance. That is a reflection on your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So
we
want all the cuties in there from all walks of life. Everyone is welcome. But for sure, it is an honor to feed people every single time. And for the rest of the pop-ups that I'll be doing this year, because there will be more, for sure, I just always encourage people just to follow my Instagram, because that is the best way to just, I will always be on there talking about what's coming up next for me and where to find my food, because as much as I like to cook, I know people want to come and eat, but I want to cook for people too. So the feeling is very mutual. Yeah, like,
there's a good supply and demand marketplace here.
Yes, I'm trying to feed the people. I want, if you're even thinking about trying my food, I would like to feed you. So.
Oh, we love that. Okay, well, we're definitely gonna have to try your food.
Well, Lana, it has been honestly a real manifestation for us to have you on the pod. And
yeah,
we are so excited about everything that is coming up next for you. For anyone listening, June 18th. In Bushwick, try the food, come cute, come correct.
Come cute and come correct. That's it. And come and say hi too, because I truly never get sick of it. Like, people, I was in the airport this past weekend and trying to find like the TSA pre-check line, like, you know, just chaotically, like running around. And someone was like, wait, Lana? And I was like,
And spotted.
And I'm like with a friend who, in my mind, is much more famous than I am. And I was like, well, this is my, and they're like, no, Lana.
Who?
And she was like, it's happening. You know, like, I like, and it's just a shout out to said friend was so hyped for me. She was just like, see, I told you, like, it's just adorable. So I really, really just encourage, you know, say hi if you ever see me. I love to just, it brings me so much joy to know that I resonated with people and that, you know, because that's truly who I am on the show, is what you see is what you get about me. So when people come up to me and tell me that they resonated with me, that is just such a massive compliment and just makes my heart completely swell. So, you know, I always encourage people to say that. And if you did not like me, then you do not have to say hi.
Keep it to your damn self.
We will be fans forever, Lana. Thank you for joining us.
Thank
and
you
everybody,
for
tune in to our next episode of Compliments to the Chef.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.